Hello, my name is Karina and I'm here on the Picture House podcast, here to talk to you about the fantastic new documentary, Even When I Fall. I am here with the producer and the directors who are going to tell us exactly what it's all about. Hello.
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 Hi.
So ladies, tell us about your film.
My name is Elham Shakarifar. I'm the film's producer.
I'm Sky Neal. I'm the co-director.
My name's Kate McLarnon. I'm the co-director of Even When I Fall.
Even When I Fall tells the story of Nepal's first circus, which was set up by a group of survivors of trafficking into circuses in India. And the story is told through the prism of two young women, Saraswati and Sital, and it follows their journey from rescue all the way till today.
So how did you three meet? Where did this journey start?
We all met doing a visual anthropology master's in Goldsmiths College in London. And we didn't know each other that well when we were doing the course, but we came out of it with a lot of similar experiences and a lot of similar ideas about how to make films, I think. And when we started to work together outside of that, I think we gelled quite well.
So how did you start your working relationship together?
We started working together through being visual ethnographers, really. So we studied visual anthropology, and the sort of work that you come from that doing is kind of researchers, really, so visual researchers. So it's kind of it's making films that have a research focus as opposed to focusing on a kind of end product, although that can be a part of it as well. And also in terms of approach, so very much looking at how you approach filmmaking, so a very collaborative approach to filmmaking, really thinking about who you're working with and how you're representing and how and their awareness of how they're being represented, and really creating a collaborative as possible process. So I think we all very much come from that place as filmmakers.
Yeah, I did pick up on that theme throughout. I mean, this film took 6 years to make, is that right?
6 years shooting, yeah.
6 years shooting. And then was there added research time to that as well?
I mean, it was 7 years, including the edit. And we did actually do a shoot, two shoots during the edit year, didn't we? So actually it was over 7 years.
Gosh, and when I watched it, it felt like there was a real journey and you'd had such great access and you'd built such a strong relationship with your subjects. And you were clearly representing them in the way that they felt very happy with, I feel. I mean, you obviously wanted to do that in the first place. Is that something that you feel that you've achieved?
I hope so. And I think that their response to the film has been really encouraging in that respect, and that they've really feel an ownership over it now as their story. They're going to Q&A's themselves and using it within their own work. To me, that's the best test for that. And by the end, they were really working with us on the film, and you know, we were recording them retelling their story to us at the end in a way that felt very collaborative, and we had a great translator by that point. You know, we really felt like a team, I think, and with Saraswati and Sital, the stars of the film.
Yeah, they are fantastic to watch. And what's interesting as well for me is that on the face of it, you might just be thinking that you're going to watch a film about human trafficking and exploitation, but actually the women in it have such strength and individuality and self-awareness. They're not taking any crap from anyone, really, are they? And I think that comes across very well. And I think that's one of the best things that I enjoyed about it in particular, because it's very well represented. And it's, you can tell, like I said, it's from their point of view and they feel happy in the way that they're represented, I think.
That's good to hear.
How did you meet them? How did that journey start?
So prior to being a filmmaker, I worked as a circus artist. I worked as an aerialist within Contemporary Circus. And I heard about the trafficking from Nepal into India through friends that had actually been out and been in an Indian circus, and the circus they were in ended up being raided by an NGO. Contacted the NGO and they were looking at setting up a kind of a rehabilitation program for the young people in the refuge, and we're looking at including arts programs within that. So I went along as a consultant, really, to facilitate the development of a performing arts / social circus program. So that's when I first met Sital. Whilst I was there, a rescue operation was sort of happened. Saraswati had sent an SOS out from being inside the circus, and that had got back to the NGO. They organized a rescue operation whilst I was there, and I got to go along with the NGO. So I was with them when they first pulled Saraswati out of that circus in 2010.
Amazing. And did it take much convincing to tell her story on film?
For her? No, actually never. I think you know, there was, I think in some senses it was probably fueled by a kind of a lot of confusion and anger initially, and actually probably benefiting from actually having someone to be talking things through, really, actually, when I was there, because I was there for quite a few weeks after she'd come out of the circus and we became friends, really. And I think it was actually quite an important time for her to be able to have someone to talk to.
One of the lines that comes early on in the film is her saying, I will tell everything in front of everyone. And that's just, it's almost like one of her first lines in the film. You just hear this kind of will to, a very defiant sort of sense of, look, this is my story. And she's very, you know, angry and confused at that point, but she never kind of loses that will to just kind of speak out and tell everyone around her what she's feeling and what's going on. And we became one of those people that she shared with.
Because of my background as a circus performer, there was a kind of immediate connection there between us, yeah, as well, that we both had a background of circus. And so she hadn't really met anyone outside of her bubble. So I think that was also a kind of a place to connect.
It's funny that you say that, because one of the things that I got from the documentary was that even within the performers, there was this community that had created family-like bonds, and obviously they were all going through awful times, but they were also very much connected by their artistry and their talent. And it's so interesting that you were also a circus performer and that you would be able to, I mean, how did that work? Did you do a handstand and be like, look, I can do it too?
Yeah, well, my handstands
now you
great.
Go
But because of the framework that I was there within was to facilitate a social circus program really in those early days. So there were, you know, when Saraswati came, there was already trapezes up in a hall, you know, in a space that we'd created. So it, you know, she came out of one circus and really entered a different circus space with me immediately. So that was a kind of framework that was there as soon as she'd come out of her situation.
There's no way that 7 years was the easiest of times. What were the hurdles that you came across and how did you overcome them?
The biggest was money, because that has the knock-on effect of everything. You know, that means you can't spend the time you want to on it, you don't have the kit you want to have, or you don't have the support, and you have to go back and do lots of other work, and you have, you know, that's, and that was a really, really big struggle over the time. Elham can probably say more about this, as our producer, really, you know, when she came on board, really helped us to kind of with that sort of struggle of getting the funding in, and the struggle didn't end there.
No, I think films like this, How to Start, I think it's true to say that Verité documentary that's based on real lives, it's very hard for people to see where it's going to go, what it's going to be, to take a risk with you. Very often it's the filmmakers themselves who are taking that risk and trying things out and working things out before anyone else will come on board. So when I actually joined the team, you'd found a lot of the visual language and there was so much there. But still, it was fascinating to realise that actually women's stories aren't always understood, particularly when there's a level of agency for women. You know, first-time directors aren't necessarily given the opportunity to take a risk as easily. You need to prove yourself quite a lot. And I think that hurdle is difficult because it also adds to the time that you're spending. And, you know, you're filming with people in a different country over a long period of time. You need to think about the impacts. And also your life goes on as well. And it's interesting. I think in a way it's contributed to the rich fabric of the film, both in terms of the long journey that we go on with the circus, but a lot of our lives is also woven into the tapestry of the film. And there has been a benefit to it to some extent, but it does always make me wonder as a producer, how many times can you as a filmmaker take that risk? Mm. It's not a sustainable way of making films. And something so beautiful has come out of this. What I'd like to know is that funders, exhibitors, distributors will start to trust, will start to see the talent that's in here and actually encourage them to take risks as well and take risks with us as filmmakers, because it's time and it's support and it's money that enables us to make films that are amazing and can connect with audiences. And there's this question around diversity. We talk about it a lot, but diversity means many different things. You know, it's not just about being supported. The playing field isn't level. And for you to be supported in the ways that matter to you are very important in being able to have a voice, but equally to give a voice to people who have stories that challenge the mainstream narrative.
Absolutely.
So these were different hurdles. And I think they're hurdles that we continue to see. So we are self-distributing this film. I think that's an extension of this hurdle of not wanting to take a risk on a different story. So it's very validating to see the response to it and the fact that audiences love elements that have been hurdles for us, like the complexity of the story or the fact that we're focusing on a trafficking story, which is actually quite a common narrative that we hear, but not through the prism of victimhood, rather through the prism of survivor's story.
Yeah, there was certainly a shied away quite uniquely from the victimhood. And I've been following this film for a while now, and I remember seeing the first Kickstarter video and the beauty that was in the visuals and thinking this is going to be a beautiful documentary, a very poetically visual film to really enjoy. And I think, I guess, you as a producer and you guys as filmmakers, that talent has really meshed together beautifully to create something that is now brilliantly going to be enjoyed up on the big screen. And it really is a big screen film, and I really do encourage everybody to watch it in the cinema where they can, because I mean, you've got these beautiful landscapes and this incredible talent on these bodies doing these fabulous things. And yeah, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous film. I really do congratulate you. But going back to money, not to focus too much on money, but you funded this via Kickstarter?
Well, it's really interesting because people reference Kickstarter the most, but it's actually supported by a real range of foundations, including Sundance, Fork Films, Chicken and Egg in the US. It's also, initial seed funding came from Worldview, and it's supported by the BFI as well, and the UK Tax Credit. And we have maybe 800 different Kickstarter supporters as well.
Wow.
There's a huge number of people in many different ways who have contributed to the film along the way. And in the early stages, I think a lot of people who are also giving their time and, you know, their energies for nothing or for very little.
On the Kickstarter thing as well, I think that I was thinking about this the other day, that it came, you know, it was really, really important money for us. But I think it also was really important to have that sort of psychological boost at that time, where, you know, we've been working on it for so long by that point, and the Kickstarter money was towards like final shoots and post-production, things like that. And it was so nice to suddenly feel like, you know, we had a whole bunch of interested people out there who wanted to see a finished film. And it was a real sort of boost to the finish line, I think, to have that kind of community grow around the film at that point.
So that's so encouraging to hear that you had such a good experience with it, because it feels quite daunting, I can imagine.
Well, I didn't do a lot of the work, I have to say, personally. We had a really good team of people who kind of, like, it wasn't just us on our own doing that, and that was huge. So thank you to those people.
Have you got any Kickstarter tips for any filmmakers out there? Like, well, I mean, you must have loads, but what would you say would be the main?
Well, I think it does really take a lot of planning to really think about timing and think about who you relay with. So it is a bit like, somebody who described it to me as a feeling of having left the gas on. And if you feel like that for about 30 days, it's very tiring. It's always there in the backdrop. So a good relay team is important. But I think one of the things that we used it for as well was, apart from gauging interest and giving ourselves a boost, was also about reaching out to the different communities that we thought would really engage with the film at the end. So we built up a network of human rights organizations, of anti-trafficking organizations and charities. And these are people that we've stayed in touch with, and who at that time were really impressed to hear that the focus of the film was going to be around an aftermath, which isn't often the focus around trafficking. And so it's become a tool that they can now use. So I think of Kickstarter as this kind of dual process. One, it's raising money, but actually the biggest value is in raising a kind of, starting an audience. And that audience is both individual people, but it's also communities and organizations that will want to see your film at the end and make use of it for their networks and communities.
Yeah, you've got like an inbuilt audience already, and you can keep communicating with them.
I think this question of who is your audience is one of the biggest that we're being asked as filmmakers, and it contributes to this idea of risk as well. So to see that 800 people have funded you, have put money on the table to say, I want to see this finished, is really valuable. It means that we've had social media accounts that have been active for several years. And so people who have been following the film for that time are now our biggest champions. And they're writing about it, and they're sharing news about the film. And that's one of the biggest assets that we now have as a, still a kind of slightly grassroots film. in a sense.
So one other Kickstarter tip, because like, I think Elma was like, we're going to do this towards the end, and right near the end, we were nowhere near the target, and we're like, oh, it's over. We'll never do it.
I do distinctly remember a call that you called me up and you said, Sky and I have had a chat and we've decided that if this isn't going to work, it's okay. And I was like, no way. Failure is not an option.
That's a good producer. He's like, no, what are you talking about? Wash that taste out of your mouth.
But what's interesting with Kickstarter is the beginning and the end are the most important. And I think people do really respond to a deadline as well. And the thing about Kickstarter is that it's all or nothing. Mm. And that means something. And people understand what that means. And it's only at the end that that sense of urgency really kind of comes into play and people really respond to it. And it is also a little, I don't know whether it's this line between humbling and embarrassing, the kind of way you get to towards the end and everyone you're trying to contact who you haven't spoken to for 10 years and you're like, hey, so I'm making this film. And so it is really validating when that film finally also gets a kind of mainstream industry seal of approval, or that it's seen in the cinema, because it's not that being crowdfunded means that it's a smaller film necessarily. It's just that there are different parts of the process, particularly with documentaries of this nature, where you just need a little bit of support if you don't have a trust fund, which none of us have.
So tell me what you're most proud of.
I think we had very real challenges about really being able to articulate their story eloquently and so that they'd be proud of it. So I guess that was that, and I feel proud of that. I think we had two major turning points during the process, because we were struggling with the storytelling and the articulacy and being able to really enable them to have eloquence. And so there were the sort of two key turning points were finding the language of the body, bringing in the circus performance element. And that was a really big, I think they were able to embrace that and really run with that and really kind of find their voice. And then the next point was when we realized that a lot of the story was actually coming through the undercurrents, that it wasn't going to be this big loud story, that actually the beauty of it was in its quietness and in the actual very, started to see that there were very powerful undercurrents. So that's what I feel like we did. We were able to find that voice for them in the end, or we together were able to as a group rather than us.
But that's where it really came alive for me,
working together with them to
reconnecting with their family and
constantly trying to keep going back to that. Are we doing that? Are we really kind of working together? Are we really enabling them to have that voice?
One of the things that I'm most proud of is that the film is now going to be used by the circus as an additional tool for their outreach. And so they are currently, actually this week, working to identify scenes that they can develop outreach workshops with. They're working with an ethical recruitment agency, so they'll be traveling around to traffic-prone areas and using this as another way of addressing the complexities and educating and empowering people to question and to think about how they can better their own lives. So I think the fact that we were able to contribute to a full circle was very important.
That's incredible. Yeah.
You know, the thing of sisterhood and motherhood, for me, that's a big theme in the film, and womanhood. And the fact that we managed to make a film that does touch on these universal things and seems to reach out to people in all sorts of different ways. And I think that we always hoped it would be, we felt that through their stories, that, you know, from a completely different world and background and life's experience, we felt very touched by the experiences that we were sharing. So I feel really proud that that's kind of happened for people, for audiences. You know, people are coming back to us and saying that. And I'm just proud that we ever finished it but that we stuck at it.
And how did the first screening go for everyone involved?
Terrifying for us, but because that, you know, we'd shared with them along the way, it wasn't as big a surprise as it might have been.
Okay, so you screened bits
them bits and said, look, you know, we'd done voiceover for bits with them, you know, showing them the scene. And
but also throughout the journey we were showing them as the film was developing.
But when they actually watched a finished thing, it's a different so I think I was sweating and just really nervous, but it was a good response, you know, and as I say, that they feel ownership of it now, I think, and it's something that they can be proud of as well.
For us, Saraswati felt that her comment at the end was that she had something that she could show to her children and that she could actually tell her story to her children through the film, and I think that meant a hell of a lot to her.
And what's next? So this was your first feature film, so you've done shorts before and...
Yeah, so we've both been working in film for several years before making Even When I Fall, but this was our first feature film as directors.
And it hasn't put you off?
No, I definitely like to make another feature. I've got a small baby at the moment, and I'm actually enjoying making a small film at the moment for the V&A, and actually it's quite nice to be working on a small film, and I'd like to do that for a little while longer, actually, because you get a kind of much more instant gratification, obviously, yeah, than when you're doing a short film. But I would definitely, when I'm ready, when the baby's in a little bigger, will be ready to embark on another adventure.
No. We've both got companies, Postcode Films and Satya Films and Hakawati. You know, we've all got a lot going on with our respective companies. And
you're not just kicking back, don't worry. You don't strike me as women are just going to be chilling at home. I'm done. It looks like you're very busy, and there's lots of exciting things to come.
No big headlines, though.
So no more projects in the pipeline other than that at the moment?
So Saraswati and Sitel and the rest of Circus Kathmandu at the moment, apart from working on the outreach work, are engaged in circus activities. They are a company trying to become more sustainable. Their work became a little bit more difficult after the earthquake, and they lost a lot of the income, but also the training space that they used at that time. And so alongside the film's rollout, we're also encouraging people to find out more about their work, see whether they'd like to support them in different ways. If you go onto the film's website, there is more information about Circus Kathmandu and how you can become involved in what they're doing.
Well, thank you very, very much, ladies. I really do hope that everybody catches this film, Even When I Fall, at the cinema whenever you can.
Yeah, come to the cinema. Yeah, it's definitely we made it for the cinema. You know, we always wanted it to be on the big screen with the beautiful big sound and the music and all that. So it's a real experience. So hopefully you'll come to the big screen.
Yeah, see it right. Okay, excellent. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Minion. Bye.
You have been listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.